My job isn't to come up with the ideas. My job is to help you and your team come up with the ideas. So I have to help get you out of your normal way of thinking in order to get to that point.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Lee Kitchen. There's three facts I think you should know about Lee. One, he spent 32 years with Disney, starting in operations and guest relations, then moving to special events, PR, marketing, and advertising. Two, Lee's current role is as an innovation catalyst for his own company called Magical Dude Consulting, specializing in innovation and creativity. And three, Lee is a streamer. Once a month, the first Friday, Inspiration Report showcasing innovations and inspiration from around the world, Inspiration in a Box, and Beats Party Magic, a live DJ dance show every Friday night. Both can be found on his Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/Lee, and Lee is L-E-E, B, and B is B-E-E. Oh, have I got that right?
Lee B-X-L-T. Perfect.
Lee B-X-L-T. Yes, Lee 2 E's, B 2 E's, X-L-T. Lee Kitchen, welcome to Your Intended Message.
George, thanks, man. I appreciate it. That was a great introduction, man. I need to keep you around more often. That's awesome. And not to mention that, I love the title of your podcast, Your Intended Message, because, you know, miscommunication happens all the time. So a lot of times you have something intended, it doesn't come out right. So it's nice to know that there's somebody out like you who actually helps people get their intended message out. That to me is like, it's so important. I know that you do this for companies, but man, I think this could really transfer to interpersonal relationships, marriages, that kind of thing. So there you go. There's a couple ideas to get your business going more.
Thanks, Lee, and don't ask me for marriage advice. No, stay away from that.
I mean, there is your intended message, right? A lot of times that gets, you know, that gets miscommunicated.
I can't fix that. Won't go near there. No. 32 years at Disney. How could you stand it being in such a crazy environment?
Well, I got to tell you that it was my lifelong dream, George. Ever since I was 6 years old, the only thing I wanted to do was work at Disney. And I graduated high school, turned 18, loaded my truck up for Florida. I grew up in Northern California, and I was greeting guests by the end of that June, and I couldn't have been happier. And, you know, I like to say humble beginnings in operations means basically you greet guests all day long. And it's like, how many's in your party? Watch your step. Hey, how many's in your party? Oh, watch your step. How many's in your party? Watch your step. Hi, how are you guys? How many's in your party? Watch your step. Over and over and over. But you had to do it with a fresh face. And it really gave me the backbone of kind of putting myself in other people's shoes, right? Which empathy is, we'll talk about later, is a really big part of the design thinking process. So, and you know, Disney is great because most of the people who work at Disney were like me. They dreamed of working there. So can you imagine working with a bunch of people who are as equally passionate about you, about the stuff you're doing as you are? That's a beautiful thing, man.
And I imagine if your employers heard how happy you were now, they probably would. Why did we pay him so much?
Exactly. Well, I left Disney in 2017. And then, you know, when I started being in the consulting world, I'm like, why did I do this sooner? Because as a consultant, I get paid a little bit more than I did at Disney, which is great. And I get to work with some really great people. So I kind of have the best of all worlds, if you ask me.
32 years at Disney, there must be a lot of interesting stories from them.
from there. I'm curious, you wanted to be there, you loved to be there, you got your dream. What was the most surprising thing that happened there to you that you just had, that just totally took you by surprise?
Oh, wow. I have so many stories from each walk of my Disney life. In my earlier in my career, I got to meet some, I was a tour guide. And so I got to ride rides and eat Disney food for a living, right? That was my job, is showing people around and hosting people. And I hosted some famous people. I was lucky enough to host the Van Halens when they came in for a tour. I hosted my favorite band, Duran Duran, which will show you how old I am, right? I got to host Regis Philbin during the Christmas parade and things like that. So, you know, meeting and hanging out with celebrities was super cool. But as I progressed through Disney, I was lucky enough to be part of special events. So I was able to kind of be on the forefront of some new things, the Epcot Food and Wine Festival, the launch of Disney Cruise Line. It's such a great brand. And just being a part of that Disney machine was just, it's a marvel and a wonder, right? Watching Disney launch a new attraction or a new thing is one of the most beautiful things to be involved in, because it takes a huge team effort. We're talking like hundreds and hundreds of cast members together for the same goal, all up against a deadline. I spent 3 months in Shanghai launching Shanghai Disneyland. And there had to be so many things that had to come together for that. And man, when it launched, it just went off without a hitch. It was so smooth and so great. But it was, I mean, those kind of things, there's so many stories, dude, from each one of those things. I don't think I can name just one, but just being there and having that opportunity was priceless. Plus, again, like I said, the people are gems. I have so many friends from Disney that are just some of my best friends. So it was a great experience for that specifically.
To get hundreds of people working together for the same goal to make it happen on time must present a tremendous communication challenge. Yeah. How did they manage it? How did they make it work?
Well, besides the myriad of meetings that we had to go to, they usually picked a lead under each kind of discipline. So there was, you know, a PR lead, an operations lead, and things like that. And they were already specialists in their area. But then they basically gathered together a team of subspecialists that would kind of get under them and really follow what we were doing. And then we all met together to make sure each one of our pieces were aligned. I was telling you earlier before the podcast that if it's not on a spreadsheet, it's not happening, right? So we would just have a big, big spreadsheet. It's like, okay, let's go line by line and make sure this transportation is happening, this celebrity thing is happening, this is happening. It's priceless stuff. Of course, you know, it's not perfect. Things fall through the cracks, but lucky for us, we, like I said, it's you know, just your specialty is communication. That is absolutely key. Communicating and over communicating and making sure that everybody is on the same page. And what's funny is that translates into my new role as innovation catalyst, because we can't keep things in the back burner. We have to bring everything up front in order for us to all kind of level set ourselves. We all have to know the information all at the same time.
Information catalysts, what does that mean? What do you do?
So innovation catalyst is fancy two words for saying that I help people come up with ideas. So my last 10 years at Disney, I worked for a really small team of people. We helped train people in a process called design thinking and creative problem solving, which has been around since the late 50s or early 60s. It was originally devised by Sid Parnes and Alex Osborne. And we used a version of that was customized for Disney to basically help people think differently on a daily basis, help them make creativity a habit. And then not only did we train people, but we were also practitioners. So we would go from department to department helping people brainstorm their next big thing, product, service, idea, campaign, that kind of thing. And now that I'm out into the world kind of doing the same thing, I go to all different kinds of companies, because design thinking, creative problem solving is a method that you can use in any discipline, any company. And so I work with not just the travel industry, I also work with manufacturing, and I work with hospitals, and I work with automobiles and things like that. It's such a diverse methodology that, again, translates. You can use it to decide where you're going to go on vacation, you know. it's that useful. It translates to basically any discipline, really.
Now I find it curious that now that you're working with different types of clients from different industries, I'm wondering, does that in fact spur your creative thinking, because now you're seeing concepts applied differently by different groups of people.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the lucky things that I am, I'm part of a larger creativity community run by a guy named Tim Herson called Mind Camp. And I love going to Mind Camp. It's held in Toronto every year. And one of the great things about learning from other people that do innovation catalysts like me is learning how they translate, because it's basically the same methodology, and it's just the way we translate it in those different areas is really inspiring. And so what somebody does in healthcare, I could easily take and translate that into a client, to a mining client. You know, I have one of my clients is a mining office in South Africa, right? So it's really great to kind of get an overview of kind of how everybody is using it, and then applying that to a different group of people. And that's the richness of my role, really, is to, my job isn't to come up with the ideas. My job is to help you and your team come up with the ideas. So I have to help get you out of your normal way of thinking in order to get to that point. So yeah, that's really the joy of my job.
now, Lee, perhaps a downside is when you start with a new client, and you try to apply thinking from a different industry, the downside is that they might say, well, Lee, we do it differently in this industry.
They always say that. Not they might, they always say. Well, here's the deal. What I do is I actually have them do that themselves. So I ask them as a bit of homework. I'm like, hey, I want you to, I simplify their challenge. And I say, hey, go out into the world, take that simplification and find out who else has done it. Because 10-1, somebody else has had that challenge before and it's not in your business. And I have them bring that forward. And it's a great exercise in again, getting people outside of what I call the river of thinking, because otherwise, like you said, that we've always done this way, you know? And so seeing that, wow, somebody else was really trying to do what we're trying to do and look at how they did it was a really great thing. And I was going to ask you about that. When you're talking to your communication clients, do you ever think about, like, if you have a communication client in banking and they spur something, does that spur you to think about a solution that you did for somebody in another business? Do you use that same thing in your communication strategy for them or your coaching?
Very, very truly. Yes. That one of the joys is that I do work with people from very different industries with different situations. It might be a sales presentation. It might be a management leadership presentation, but there are ideas and concepts that they can take in one case, the presenter, the leader might use a story about something from his family or her childhood. And when I go to, and that's fine if you're in consumer goods or something,
right, right.
But then you talk to a banker and a banker says, oh no, I have to be serious.
Right.
Stories.
Yeah. I always like to say, George, that we are more alike than we are different in a lot of cases. And so believe it or not, and that's why I think that my Disney experience, I think people really enjoy hearing those Disney stories, because a lot of times people think that Disney is this big behemoth company that just doesn't have problems. And so when I tell them about the challenges that we had and they can relate because they're having the same challenge as a small business, they're like, really? A big company like Disney had that same issue? And so they love hearing that. It kind of humbles them, humbles them to themselves, thinking, wow, this huge big company had the same issues. So it's kind of a great, I get a lot of feedback on those stories because, again, and you probably do this in your line of work too, is one of the things I couldn't stand about education when I was going to get my undergrad and in high school is that my professors could never put it in context for me. And I needed to know why, right? Why do I have to use this stuff? And so I make a big point in my innovation training to kind of tell them the why. Here's an example of why we use this at Disney, and here's the outcome. And it wasn't always the best, but I like to explain the why behind it so they can put it in their terms. And I'm sure that that's what you do when you coach your communication clients, I would imagine too, right?
Definitely, the why is critical. It is to me, and I believe it. It is. We need to understand why does that happen that way? Why yeah. Why is this a better way to convey your message? Why do people think the way they do?
Well, yeah, and storytelling is a great way to do that. Just telling somebody a story about how you experienced it, or one of your other clients experienced it, is, again, it kind of gives us a lot of commonality, and it reminds you that you're not the only one, you know? Camaraderie like that is really important. We're all in this together, man.
Design thinking. Tell us more about that. What's that really about?
So design thinking is a loose structure to ensure that when you're creating something, that you create it with a human level, with the humans that you're creating for in mind. So it's also called human-centered design, again, creative problem solving. And it's a structured process to make sure that you don't leave anything on the table. So the four steps that I teach are what I call scoping, which is let's spend some time figuring out what it is we're trying to solve for. Because I tell my clients, I'm like, you don't want to get a month down the road and realize you're solving for the wrong thing because you've already spent money and all that kind of stuff, right? The next step is what I call empathy. And empathy is making sure that you spend quality time with your end user. And your end user could be your employees. Your end user could be your consumers, right? And so you want to make sure that you walk in their shoes and you create ways to get inspired by the data that you have about them. It's super, super important, because then when you go to the next step, which is ideation, you have that consumer and that need in mind, right? You're not just blindly going in and creating stuff. You are creating stuff that's gonna solve for the need that your consumers told you about. And then the last step is called idea development, which is basically taking those ideas and polishing them and using different ways to kind of make selections about what you're gonna take through, getting the team together to make sure everybody kind of has each idea has kind of a champion moving forward. You'll find a lot of design thinking experts will throw in prototyping in there. So prototyping, which is making sure you create and rapidly, get it out there and fix it rapidly, that kind of thing. And then of course, the last one is execute. I don't talk much about execution because I was never really an operations folks, but if we've set them up for success, it should be relatively simple for them to get that idea out into the world. So yeah, just a loose structured process. It makes sure that I describe it to my clients as an abstract journey to get to the end. So instead of just looking at your problem, like in the tunnel vision that you've been looking at it, we're going to take this abstract journey into the forest. We're going to wallow in the forest for a little bit, and then we'll come out with these great, great concepts and ideas.
Wallow in the forest for a while.
We're going to spend a little time in there.
Now, those five steps that you just summarized, what I find curious is that the third step, the ideation, the coming up with the creative ideas, is one, it's third, it's not first.
Yep.
And second, it's just one step in the process. It's not the answer by itself.
Yeah, and a lot of people think, oh, well, creativity is just about coming up with blue sky ideas. Well, yeah, that's definitely part of it, and that's really important. But there is both, and I call them, there's two mindsets. There's expansive and reductive mindsets, right? Expansive is the divergent mindset where we say, hey, we're gonna be blue sky and we're gonna think big and we're gonna write down as many ideas as possible. But on the other side, you have to have the convergent side too. You have to have the reductive side, which means we have to choose the idea that we're gonna execute or the set of ideas. And so it's not all pink clouds and fluffy linings kind of thing, right? Or did I say that right? Yeah. because you have to have a little bit of both. The trick that I tell my clients is you can't mix those together. So on a day that you decide, hey, we're creating ideas, you have to pull the reductive part out of it, which means I tell my clients, you can't worry about the how right now. You have to get that no, we can't do that because out of your vocabulary, and we're only going to build off each other and say yes and. It's a really powerful thing I learned from improv theater. It's like we're going to just build off each other, and the trick, you want to make as many ideas as possible on that day because you want to have plenty to choose from. You're only going to pick one or two, but you want to make sure you have that environment where you can create as many. The next day when you get to the convergent side, you don't want any new ideas because you've already created them. You need to select ideas. So just keeping those two separated is a really important piece. And of course, George, I'll tell you, and I'm sure you tell your leadership clients this too, is collaboration is key. You know, I mean, your ideas are great and my ideas are great, but you know what? They're going to be so much better if you and I put our ideas together. It's so, so powerful especially in a corporate environment, because there's a lot of residual things that happen when you do a collaborative session like the sessions I lead. It's a team building exercise. Not only do you get to know your fellow colleagues, but you work on building something together. So when it's time to execute that, you both have a stake in it, right? You're like, we all have a stake in this because we help create it. So I always recommend collaborative sessions. I tell my clients, make sure you invite a diverse group of people to these sessions, all walks of life, all levels. Oh, I can't stand it when people say, we're only bringing the brand and strategy people in. I'm like, no, they've all thought about the problem like this. Let's bring a couple of other marketing folks and maybe even some of your retail folks in. Let's mix it up to make sure we have a good broad base of people to come up with ideas, right?
Lee, when you're in that ideation stage, when you actually want to encourage wild thinking, what are some of the suggestions or questions that you pose to stimulate those crazy ideas?
Well, a couple things. One is, hopefully from the empathy session, we have really clear, what I call human truth. So I, as the consumer, I think this and I believe this because of this reason. So we have a clear human truth, and then we match that up with whatever our business need is. And when we get in there, we basically make sure that we go about it a couple different ways. So I make sure that, for example, the environment that we brainstorm in is not a conference room, you know, not like those normal. I usually take out the tables and I make it more like you're sitting in your living room or sitting at a bar. You know, I mean, I say that that's the reason the bar napping was invented, was to capture ideas, right? Because that's when people are sitting in a bar or sitting at their house, that's when they come up with their ideas. Now, when I ask that question, they always say the shower, you know, so have a dry erase thing in your shower too, because that's where you always come up with your best ideas. But as far as collaboration goes, I usually take a group of 30 people and I'll divide them up into small groups of four and just get them to sit in chairs kind of facing each other, because it takes that level, you know, you don't worry about who's at what level and everybody's kind of on equal footing. And then I mix those people up throughout the day to make sure that different magic happens with different people. And again, I tell my clients to make sure they invite a couple of those, what I call those unbiased ideators, which are people that don't have anything to do with your problem or your challenge, but they're part of your business and you know that they love coming up with ideas. So bring them in, because they're gonna really mix up your teams to get to something different.
And Lee, when people first meet with you, do they have this expectation that you're gonna give them the answer?
A lot of times they do, but I turn it back around saying, I could easily come up with the answer for you, but how would it be adopted in your company if I'm the one that comes up with the answer? The trick is, you want ownership of the people that you're working with. So you don't, I'll have the idea probably, but I want you to come up with the idea, because if you guys come up with the idea, you guys will get around it. You will be passionate about it. You will make sure that the DNA doesn't get value engineered out of it, right? So it's, you know, as a consultant, of course, I'm an expert and I could definitely probably give you five or six solutions that you could go out and do. But, you know, that won't do any good when it comes to camaraderie and collaboration. You really want that to come from within. And I do a lot of work in the vision, mission, values thing too. I help people kind of redefine their companies, and a lot of mergers. So I work with a lot of companies that are merging and things like that. And ownership is so important. And it's so important to, I tell them, make sure that you bring in a cross range of people, because these people that are creating this, they're going to be your first advocates, right? They're going to be the evangelists that would be like, you guys, it didn't come from above. We actually created this ourselves. And that is more authentic. And that's the kind of stuff that people and your employees and your fellow colleagues believe in, and they'll make it come true better. So again, collaboration, absolutely key in these things.
Lee, you also have some other pursuits, and I'm wondering, do you do that to feed your creative thinking, or is it another outlet for you?
No, I absolutely use it to feed both my creative thinking and others. So one of the things, and also, George, I'm a big fan of practicing what I preach, right? And so these are in an effort to do that. So the first stream that I do is the first Friday of every month. It's called the Inspiration Report. I put it on with my fellow Disney colleague. His name is Sean Brown. And Sean and I are really, we're passionate about watching the way other companies and other places are doing things differently, right? And it could be just a small change, or it could be, it could be a renovation, it could be innovation. But what we do it for is that one of the things that we preach is fresh thinking is really important to get to big ideas. So if you're stuck on your own way of doing things and you watch the same stuff and you get your information from the same places and you talk to the same people, most likely you'll always come up with the same ideas. So staying fresh and getting yourself exposed to different thoughts, different concepts than your own is the way to go. One of the keynotes I do is called Creating Purposeful Spontaneity, and it's about how spontaneity leads to big ideas because it gives you, it puts things in your brain that you access when you're having ideas, right? So Sean and I do this once a month, and what we say is if there's something there that it's, you know, it might be an advertiser for toilet paper, but if there's a concept in there that is like that you can take to another business, let's take that concept on how and why they did that and think about and let it inspire you, right? And so an inspiration can absolutely come from anywhere. So that's one. And then on Fridays, I've been a DJ for a long time, since 1985, believe it or not. And I used to do, you know, weddings and parties, and the DJ thing was more like my COVID habit gone wild, right? But one of the things that I love doing is mixing genres. And so when I invite people to come and listen to my music, I'm saying, hey, even if it's a genre you don't necessarily like or know anything about, try to embrace it and try to just get into it as much as possible. And so I play anything from electronic dance music to Bollywood to Latin music to old rock and roll to new alternative music, and I mix it all together. So you'll never hear a radio version of a song. It's always a remix or a mashup or something, and it keeps people guessing. And it's just like, you know, the song will play and all of a sudden it's Journey or something like that, and they're like, oh, I couldn't even tell, that kind of thing. So it's more of like, you want some fresh thinking, come to either one of those things and just embrace it, right? Because you've been listening to the same, you know, the same Spotify playlist forever. So let's mix it up just a little bit. But thanks for asking that. And again, I'm going to look to you, George, to tell me that you probably recommend that when it comes to communication is trying and failing, right? Trying different methods to see what sticks and see what works. So, and you have to be willing to fail a little bit to get there, probably. Is that correct? Is that what you tell your executive clients?
Very true. Yes, one needs to be bold. And I often enjoy studying TV commercials, advertising, yeah. Because, you know, someone spent a lot of time to put a message together to get an intended message across to, yep, the marketplace, and they pay attention to the details. So there's always lessons there that the rest of us can take from the pros who put, you know, why it works, why it doesn't work.
Yeah. And even I'll go one step further, George, is that watch those folks as they take their intended message and translate it in their social media, as they translate it into the emails that they send you, as they translate it to the actual experience. You know, Disney was really good at that. They were really good at translating the feeling. So you would watch these great commercials that I get goosebumps just thinking about them, right? They were just awesome at the feeling of what Disney's going to make you. But then when you called the reservation office or you are on the website, that feeling perpetuated, right? And so when you were greeted by the cast member who signed you into your hotel or registers at your hotel, it's all part of that same cohesive thing. And those are the businesses that are doing really well, is if you can get that message out, that your intended message out, and then back it up. Don't just tell me a bill of goods. Back that stuff up when you come to my location. And I'm telling you, you can be a small ice cream store and still have that, right? You don't have to be Disney to have that. And like you said, there's an intended message, and you have to be consistent across the board. You can't let it drop. It's so, so, so important that you lose customers at that point, because then they don't trust you, or they're like, hey, wait, you promised me this stuff, but I got to your place and it wasn't what you promised me, right? So, I mean, your intended message needs to extend, right?
It's funny, and I recall when years ago I took my family to Disney in Florida, and I was amazed at the messaging in everything, you know, around me. Yeah. Every experience had a message, and I was just soaking it up. And one of the things I remember is there were long lines.
Yeah.
And yet the experience in the line was not boring or aggravating. Nope. It was actually, you were entertained in the line, and there was constantly changes as you move through this line. And you couldn't really tell how long the line was, nope, because it would kind of snake through this.
That's great. And that means it works. And you just remind me, I started Disney in the 80s, and in the 80s, I remember that it was common that Walt Disney Imagineering, who are the group of engineers that designed all the rides, they were basically say, hey, we're building this ride. You guys make sure you market it and people will come, right? It took a while for Disney to say, wait a minute, let's get together and decide what that ride should be, because here's a group of people that we might not be attracting to because we don't have the kind of rides for them. And when that happened, when that connection happened, oh, it was beautiful. And I'll use the new Star Wars attraction, Galaxy's Edge, as an example. If you look at the marketing for that, the amazing marketing that the advertising group, which is called Yellow Shoes Creative, by the way, really great group of people. If you look at that and you look at when you get to the attraction, it's just mind-blowing the cohesiveness that it all takes you and it immerses you in one place, no matter if it's a message, it's an intended message online through somebody talking or when you're talking to a cast member there. It's a beautiful example. I suspect that marketing textbooks 20 years from now will have that as an example of your intended message, right? Getting through across the board.
And for our listeners and viewers, they might want to know that you are available, Lee, to deliver keynotes, training workshops, and consulting, and they can learn more about you at the website magicaldude.com. It's yes. magicaldude.com, not Magical Kingdom, Magical Dude.
Magical Dude.
Lee, in wrapping up, if you could give advice to a manager, an executive who plans to hold a meeting with their staff and wants to encourage creative thinking on where they go next, or perhaps they've got a problem, especially post-pandemic, and you could bring a special guest to that meeting, and the special guest would be Mickey Mouse. What do you think is the advice that Mickey Mouse would give to this business executive to encourage more creative thinking?
Well, I mean, Mickey Mouse, above all, is a really great friend, right? And he's a great colleague. He's a great guy to work for, and he thinks about everyone. And so everyone has to get together, right? And I think his message would be, make sure that we collaborate. And the most important part is that Mickey is the top mouse, right? He has to basically walk that walk, right? And talk that talk. So from an executive standpoint, if you as an executive don't believe it, how can you give permission for your team to do it, right? So you have to believe it yourself before, because people will call you out on that all the time. And Mickey, one of his most important traits is being genuine and being authentic. And so from a leadership standpoint, being genuine, being authentic, your team believes you more and you will get more done. And especially when it comes to ideas, they've got to know that your heart's in it as much as their heart is in it. So yeah. And Mickey's got a big heart. So there you go.
My guest today is Lee Kitchen, reminding you that fresh thinking is what's needed to create big ideas.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.